Jones Angel is the voice of the Tar Heels, and he joins us now on the phone to preview all of that. Jones, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody's staying safe. And what a weird weather situation we have, especially for this time of year. So hope everybody's staying safe. And looking forward to this weekend. It will be busy, as you referenced, with basketball tonight and football tomorrow. And really big game and big challenge tomorrow night for the Tar Heels over in Winston against Wake. Wake is a really good team. They've had a tough stretch here with a couple losses in a row, so you know they're going to be fired up. And they're always fired up to see the Tar Heels regardless. So big one tomorrow night, and excited to see basketball back in action. Kind of a ugly start, not necessarily 100% because of Carolina, just the way the game was played on Monday night for the Tar Heels. Very physical, kind of grinded out game. So looking forward to seeing them back on the court coming up this evening.
And starting with basketball and talking about that game one a couple of days ago, what a weird statistic to come out of that game. Fewest assists for Carolina since 1980, fewest assists for an opponent since 1975. How weird is that, right? Especially for Carolina.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think just the fact that you said those dates should tell you how historically odd that game was. The fact that it had been so long for Carolina and for the opponent, and to have it happen in the same game should tell you a little something about how that game was played. And I do give credit to UNCW, Aaron. They came in with a very clear plan to slow the game down and make it very physical. And, you know, they weren't shooting until there was a couple seconds left on the shot clock, and they were using the half court pressure to try and make Carolina work just to get it for a front court. And then by the time the Tar Heels were in their offense, there was, you know, 17, 18 seconds left on the shot clock. There were a ton of fouls called, more than 40 of them, more than 50 free throws shot. And, you know, all those things, I think, went into having those low assist numbers. I didn't leave that game thinking Carolina played selfishly in any way offensively. It's just kind of the way the game played out. There was just never really any flow to it. There wasn't much rhythm to it. It was just, you'd have a possession or two and a foul, and then the ball would get knocked out of bounds, and then there'd be another foul. And it was just the way the game went. So, again, I think UNCW did some of that by design to lessen the possessions, to try to give them the best chance to win. If Carolina has more possessions, then they're going to have a better chance to win because they have more talent than UNCW. So I thought it was a well-executed plan by the Seahawks. Carolina's got to be able to, when teams are trying to do that, has to be able to manage it a little bit better. I did think the Tar Heels played terrific defense in that game, and I think this team has an opportunity to be an excellent defensive team. Hubert Davis has said he thinks this team can go from good to great by how it plays on the defensive side. And I was very impressed with how Carolina handled things in that way on Monday night.
Is that going to be the scouting report for Carolina? Are we going to see teams like throughout the season try to just slow it down game after game?
Well, I would think at least in this point of the year. Mm-hmm. Now, tonight might be a little bit different because College of Charleston very much wants to get up and down the court. Pat Kelsey, their head coach, I mean, that is how he plays. And he has been pretty forward in saying, yeah, I'm not going to change that no matter who we're playing. And even last year, you know, Carolina went down to Charleston in an early season game, and it was a back and forth game. There was a lot of offense. You know, they being the Cougars, really do want to play at that pace. They want to try and create a bunch of turnovers. They want to be really fast and frantic. And so I would be a little more surprised if they changed that tonight because it's against who they are. But I think in total, when you play some of those schools that are a little bit smaller and don't have the gifts and talents, as Roy Williams used to say, that Carolina does, that gives them a better chance to win. Because the fewer possessions you have, the fewer times that Carolina's talent can take over. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see that more early in this season.
Speaking with Jones Angel, talking Tar Heel basketball, but of course we've got a football game too tomorrow night down the road in Winston, UNC taking on Wake. And I got to say, earlier this year when I was looking at Carolina's schedule and where things stood and how the Tar Heels were playing a little bit earlier in the year, I kind of wrote this game off as, well, we'll lose to Wake, but if we can win this game and this game and this game, we'll still get the Coastal Division title. But we come into this game, Carolina's 5-0 on the road, Wake's been struggling, UNC's ranked, Wake's not, Drake May's having a great year. like this is a game Carolina could win and get the Coastal Division title. What's your expectation heading into this one for both teams?
Well, I think I'm a little bit on both sides of that, Aaron, because Carolina absolutely can win this game. Carolina can win every game that it has left. I mean, I think we've seen that the Tar Heels are certainly capable of that. And when you have a quarterback that's playing at the level in which Drake May is playing, just from understanding the game of football, we all understand that the Tar Heels have a chance to win. A quarterback gives you that chance every single time. And so absolutely Carolina can win this game. But absolutely, I think this is the toughest game, at least on the road, that Carolina's going to have all season. Tar Heels played, you know, a solid Notre Dame team at home. NC State's very good. They're going to see them in a couple weeks at home. But I think on the road, this is right up there with Miami because, and again, Miami has had some issues, but they are so talented. But Wake Forest is so experienced. They're just so old. And they have guys who have done it and shown you that they are high-level ACC caliber players. And they've been there together for so long. And Wake has done a really good job over these last couple of seasons really excelling at who they are. And I think that's been what's so surprising about Wake these last couple of weeks is because it's not who they are. They are not a team that has a bunch of penalties, and they are not a team, at least traditionally here recently, that turns it over a lot. And they have 11 of them in the last two games. And they're not a team that gives up a boatload of sacks. And they've given up, I think it's 12 in the last two games. I mean, Aaron, they're hurting themselves, which is something that Wake has always avoided to be good, is they've always been able to say, look, you might beat us, but you're going to do it without any help from us. And so to see them have these issues over the last few games, and that's not to take anything away from Louisville and State, the two teams that have beaten them, they've played well as well. But some of those mistakes have just been killer. I mean, they had that third quarter in Louisville where they were outscored 35-0 and committed six turnovers in the quarter.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there's just been some wild things that have happened, and it's hurt them. But that should not take away the fact that they are an extraordinarily good team, an experienced team, a very good offensive team, and Carolina's going to have to play it at a high level. I mean, Aaron, the scores of these games the last 2 years, it's been 59-53 and 58-55. That's wild. And so these teams have proven that they can put up a lot of points against one another.
Looking forward to this one. It's going to be Saturday night at 7:30. It's going to be a great one to watch one way or the other. Speaking with Jones Angel, and we got to wrap up, and I want to ask you another question about Carolina Wake, but you mentioned Wake coming in with so much experience. This is such a tangential question, but we've been so used the last couple of years to seeing teams, and this is both basketball and football and every other sport, like Aaron Mattson in field hockey winning Player of the Year 5 years in a row. Like we're so used to seeing teams coming in with fifth-year seniors and sixth-year seniors due to COVID and all the other rule changes. What's it going to be like in college sports in a couple of years when that's not the case anymore?
Mack Brown has said multiple times, you're still kind of right in the middle of the fact that it is difficult to manage a roster right now at the college level because you never know if that individual player or which players are going to stay for that extra year that mm-hmm. was afforded. Because remember, and all this surrounds the 2020 season where the NCAA gave a blanket rule that everyone could take that year and not use it towards their eligibility. And so everyone could play, and it didn't count, essentially, towards the eligibility. So that's why you're seeing all these players that are so much older, that are there for, and a lot of times, six. There's even been some seventh-year guys that we've seen here recently. And so, Aaron, you still have a couple, I think it's two more seasons, that there'll be players that had eligibility that will be around. And then after that, all of a sudden, there will be a big drop-off where you have to kind of get back to quote-unquote normal. I think it will be a bigger deal for schools that are a little bit smaller. So whether that is Wake Forest, who's Power 5, but a little bit smaller, or a team like Appalachian, for example, a Group of 5 team, they're the ones that are really taking the most advantage of this mm-hmm. because these players, they don't lose guys that necessarily a lot that are ready to go to the NFL. And a lot of times they will take advantage of that transfer portal of a player at a bigger school that isn't playing that then wants to go somewhere else to have a better chance to play. And so I think it will affect them more. That's just my opinion. But we'll have to wait and see how it all flushes out.
Meanwhile, Drake May coming in as a freshman and putting up Heisman numbers against players who are practically twice his age at this point.
Not sure that Drake May is going to be around Chapel Hill for 6 years. So we better enjoy him while he's here.
Hey, Jones Angel is the voice of the Tar Heels. You'll hear him tonight at the Smith Center, tomorrow at Wake. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you soon.